The Legal Lowdown on Kerry Today.
Yeah, Miriam McGillicuddy, lecturer in law in the Munster Technological University and solicitor in Tralee, with us for the Legal Lowdown. Miriam, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us again.
Good morning, Jerry, and good morning, listeners, on this fine morning.
Yeah, indeed. We've lots of queries to get to from last time. Some more have come in the meantime as well. I want to start with this one. Miriam, if you're using a field for the last 50 years, no rental agreement in place, can you be put out of it?
Yeah, interesting one. I mean, this is many leases are like this, of a kind of a verbal agreement, and any leases of land do not automatically provide a right renewal or a right to remain in occupation, because the landlord always could give reasonable notice and a person could be put out in a lease situation. It depends on the type of lease as well, because some leases of land would not be even be for the full year. They'd be a 2 month period where the person would be out of the land. They were like a grazing license. So it depends on what type of use of the field he's been put to, but I suppose the bottom line is, if he's been paying rent, he's acknowledged that it is a leasehold situation, and at the end of the day, the landlord, on reasonable notice, could ask him to leave. Now, if the situation is, though, that there was, it was originally a rental agreement and it stopped, and then he continued to overhold an occupation for more than 12 years and paying no rent, there could be a question of squatter's title. But again, when it's in on a leasehold situation, it's more difficult to prove. There is one interesting thing, though, I came across, Jerry. If somebody's leasing farm buildings as well as the land, if those farm buildings have been leased for more than 5 years at open market rent, there is a right to a 35-year lease then. So that's under the business lease.
Would this person have had to enter into that lease in order to be on it for 35 years from now?
Well, it could be a verbal leasehold business lease, if you know what I mean, and they seek to have clarification of the terms through. If the if the landlord doesn't give them the 35-year lease, they could apply to court for it. But that would be if there was a farm building situation and the lands were ancillary to the farm buildings. But it is an interesting little one, you know, if somebody's in occupation. But in this case, it looks like simply an agricultural field. Now, it's very dangerous for landlords not to have rental agreements or leases in place, because there's a whole area of insurance and all that kind of thing. Sometimes what landlords do, if there has been this long-term verbal arrangement, they get while the tenant mightn't sign a lease, they might get them to acknowledge the fact that they're in the property under a rental agreement, and just get them to sign to that effect. And then you've got the annual rent, which should be proven. It shouldn't be cash. It should be a cheque or direct lodgment
for
into
a record.
Bank account.
And I'm assuming here, obviously, this person would be paying, is paying the rent for the last 50 years, every year or however it's collected.
Yeah, I presume that. And I suppose the question is it a full lease for the full 12 months, or is it simply a grazing kind of agreement? Because obviously the grazing agreement wouldn't be as strong as a full occupation.
If there's a situation then, and there's a lot of ifs and this, because we don't know, Miriam, if the situation where nobody can find the lease, solicitors have passed away, changed, you know, no copy held by either, but what happens then? Is there an element of squatter's rights that can be developed here, or is it because you have a record? If you have a record of payment, you can say, well, this is a payment situation, I'm in ownership, and I can put the person out whenever I want.
That's right, because on reasonable notice now as well, because I mean, if it's a year-to-year lease, they could say that they should be getting a year's notice, you know, that kind of way.
Yeah.
But it is a situation whereby it would be implied from their behaviour as to what were the terms of the lease. So it would be implied by what happened every year. Like, the person was in occupation, maybe they cut the grass, maybe they tended the hedges, tended the, you know, to the fencing and all that kind of thing to keep their animals in. There might have been an arrangement between them as to who insures. So the ad hoc situation that grew up over the years would be the implied terms of the lease, as it were.
Yeah, okay. Another query into us here, Miriam. Who is responsible for overhanging branches on a road?
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is the owner of a tree is liable in relation to the tree, and if there's overhanging branches, they would have to the obligation under the Roads Act is on the owner to take the appropriate action. On occasion, then, they might notify the person, if they're not sorting out the branches, that they need to do it, and they can actually charge the landowner then for the work that they've had to do. A lot of statutory authorities like the ESB have authority to go and cut branches away from lines, etc., on 7 days' notice to the owner. So I suppose at the end of the day, it'll fall to the local authority or the statutory authorities in relation to taking action concerning the matter. But like, the risk of getting the local authority to do it is that they may be charging more than one would be able to do it for oneself with a chainsaw or whatever. Health and safety applying.
And all of those things. Okay, and whether a road has got overhanging branches or not, next query, is it more of a road safety one than a legal one, I would have thought? But when out walking, does a walker have to stand in from a car, etc., coming on a narrow by a road?
Yeah, that was an interesting one. I mean, obviously for one's own safety, that sounds like
that's the priority.
Best,
stand in.
The best course of action. But there is obligations under the road safety legislation or roads legislation that if there's a footpath, you must use it and not be trotting out on the road. If there's no footpath, you have to walk as near as possible to the right-hand side of the road, facing the oncoming traffic. And then the rest of it is should. The rest of it is like high-vis clothing, torches. That's what's recommended, especially, you know, at night. But ideally, I mean, at the end of the day, pedestrians are vulnerable and one must take the greatest precautions possible. One interesting one from the road safety was, if you're walking as a group of more than 20 people, like your charity walk, you have to walk on the left-hand side of the road in the direction of the traffic flow, which was an interesting one. And obviously they tell you never walk on the road after consuming alcohol, and always arrange to, you know, if you're out socially, to try and get a lift home or a taxi home. But I mean, they're kind of common sense things, but the musts on the pedestrian are, have to use the footpath if it's there, and if no footpath, as near as possible is the way they put it, to the right hand side of the road and facing the oncoming traffic so you can be seen.
Okay, very important. And safety first is the way to go with that one. Good morning. Would you mind asking Miriam, what really are the advantages of doing a green cert?
Yeah, I mean,
ask Mary.
The green cert is one of a range of agricultural qualifications that qualify a person known as the untrained farmer. That's the under 35-year-old who would be either buying or taking over, succeeding to a family farm. And the big advantage of it is that instead of having to pay maybe 1% stamp duty if it's been transferred from their parents, or 7.5% stamp duty if they're buying it, that they would be able to get a zero rate of stamp duty on the transfer of the farm. See, the problem is with agricultural assets that when you actually value them, they value quite high. And that can lead to a prohibitive amount of stamp duty if one was doing it at the full rate. But this enables family farms to be transferred on to the young person once they've got the sufficient qualification. Now, as people, farmers get old, as people are living longer, it might be later before they're transferring the farm. But there's an interesting one that if the farmer at the age of 35 hasn't got the green cert, they can still transfer the family farm under the 35, and that young trained farmer can apply to do the cert, with the equivalent of the cert, within 4 years. And then they can get a clawback on the stamp duty. So that's helpful as well. I suppose one of the things that militates against this is that as farmers are living longer and, you know, spending longer time on the farm, that they might be handing over the farm later. But if they do that, then there's a 1% stamp duty applying there.
Okay. All right. A query from last time, listener, or Miriam, it comes in from a listener who's put up signs, and it's road safety again, put up signs on her road asking for motorists to slow down. So this isn't the council or the Transport Infrastructure Ireland or anyone that's put in their National Road Authority putting this. This is her putting up her own signs asking motorists to slow down. The majority of people have been brilliant, but a few people living nearby have not been supportive. One person questioned why I feel so strongly about this. Another person said they could drive the amount of miles per hour that they want to, that it's their business what they do. Listener has grandchildren playing outside, which is why she's concerned about speed. Is there anything that she can do?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it was a public road, but she says it's her road. So
her own local road, maybe. Yeah,
maybe a local road. And that's quite difficult to control because it's a private road. Now, there usually would be rights of way for travel for other people over that road. And I presume maybe she owns the road and other people have rights of way over it. But, I mean, it would be a question of maybe getting together with the neighbours and the Residents Association and maybe trying to get everybody to agree on the road. The other alternative would be to get it taken over by the council. And if it was taken over by the council, they could put road signs on it, like max per hour, slow down, children crossing. That's the advantage of having the public road situation and also maybe putting in speed bumps. But again, if it's a private road, the question of speed bumps might be by agreement with all the neighbours, because otherwise you could have a situation where you're putting down a speed bump and somebody else is taking it up, you know, like in that situation. But I do. She could also put up signs herself. I don't think she's done that, maybe per hour, a mile per hour or something like that.
She's put up signs asking motorists to slow down.
Yeah,
hasn't specified the speed.
It's a difficult one. I mean, ideally, if she could get agreement with all the neighbours as to the type of usage going over the road. And there's a lot of, it would be common for people who rights away over a private road to come together and agree how it be maintained, how the hedges are dealt with, and in relation to the use of the road.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you might have to look at legal options elsewhere on it.
Sending letters
and stuff like that. And outlining the health and safety. I found sometimes if you send a letter and highlight the health and safety concerns, and if there is an accident, the person will be liable.
Yeah.
That sometimes concentrates the mind as well.
Yeah. Listener gets in touch, and this is a problem for many at the moment with mortgages going up. How often can you put up the rent? With the hike in tracker mortgage rates, my rental property is in a major loss. Can I put up the rent? I put it up around 18 months ago, a four-bedroom house in a town in the county. Tenants are paying €840, I presume, every month here.
I know.
It depends whether it's a rent pressure zone or not.
The only
rent pressure zone in Kerry is in Killarney.
Exactly. And there's very simple kind of numerical addition counter that you can use in the RTB website to see how much you can raise the rent by. And if you're raise the rent by, if you're actually raising the rent, then you are entitled to do it, as far as I know, on an annual basis.
Yeah.
But you have to check that it doesn't fall foul of the, not more than the price of than inflation. And of course, that's more than the amount that they've set in the RTB site. I think it's either 2 or 4%. So you'd have to check that. But it's a very simple calculator. You can put in what your rent presently is, and then what you can raise it by.
Yeah.
So theoretically, you can raise it every year, but sometimes landlords would set it maybe every 2 to 3 years, and then they can use the intervening years to raise it that bit more when they actually raise it.
Yeah, that's for sure. Okay, a question here about solicitors that are doing family law. Are more solicitors not taking family law cases? Families finding it very hard, or is family finding it very hard to get a solicitor in Kerry?
No, most solicitors would deal with family law. Yeah,
it's probably just a lot of cases, I suppose, and I know there's a backlog in terms of dealing with those cases as well. One final query, Miriam: a person has a right of way at the gable end of my house. It hasn't been used for the last 15 years. Are they still entitled to use it as a right of way?
They are effectively, but the only thing is that if a right of way hasn't been used for ages, it could be said to be extinguished. So I suppose people need to keep up the usage on a right of way for it to remain extant. And often you hear of people using a right of way once a year, or even closing off a right of way once a year. I mean, the other thing is that if the right of way was closed off and nobody was using it, and it stayed closed off for more than 20 years, that it could be said to be extinguished. If it's a public right of way, it's slightly different, and there have to be public notices and a whole procedure to be gone through to close a public right of way, as we know.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, listen, we're going to leave it there. My thanks, Miriam. We've loads of queries and questions. We'll hold them on for next month, pass them on to you in the meantime. Thanks a million for talking to us on the programme this morning.
Thank you, Gerry, and thank you, listeners.